Hey everybody, this is Perky. I am the nominations director for the Black Podcast Awards and the current host of our podcast, Shine with the Black Pod Awards. We are launching just in time to highlight our anniversary, and this is also going to be our third year with the BPAs up and running, and it's right on time for Black History Month 2022. So please follow the BPAs on all social media platforms, which is at Black Pod Awards. And you can also subscribe to our email list through our website, blackpodawards.com. Please save the date for our third annual Black Pod Awards ceremony, which is happening September 25th, 2022. And we are always looking for podcasters to join the advisory board, to volunteer, and of course, apply to win. So today I have with me three podcasts and I'm going to introduce them to you guys. So if you guys can just wave and smile when I say your name, please do so. So I have with me Jay Poole from the Pot Stirrer podcast. That's a tongue twister. You can find this podcast at potstirrerpodcast.com. Pot Stirrer Podcast is a political opinion podcast based in Ohio, hosted by political science PhD, research expert and political observer Jay Poole, left-leaning yet not bound by ideology. Pot Stirrer Podcast is fully independent and a labor of love. The episodes delve into political and social issues in the United States with historical context and religious themes. Jay also shares her perspective as a progressive Christian and a formal evangelical. So that is Jay Poole. Hey, nice to see you. And next we have the Battle Fatigue podcast. And I'm going to do the longer version. This is written from them. And you can find their podcast, Battle Fatigue, I'm guessing on all streaming platforms. Yes. So they said, we put our minds and bodies through the ringer daily. Every other Thursday, join AJ and Daylan as they dive into what it means to exist in a constant of, I think I read that wrong, of recharge and fatigue in today's climate while finding the self-care necessary in Blackness, Beyonce, and Batman. We also focus on our curated stories about our history through our resident historian, AJ. Because you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. If you're looking to foster community and discover more self-identity, we got you. So yes, please follow and listen to their podcast on every streaming platform. And last but definitely not least, Jennifer Lind from Telling Her Story, The Life and Legacy of Rosa T. Beard. Jennifer is the host of the Telling Her Story podcast, an award-winning podcast about the life and legacy of her maternal grandmother, Mrs. Rosa T. Beard. The podcast was launched in September 2020 and just wrapped its first season in October 21st. And I'm guessing you're on all streaming platforms too?
Yep. And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Telling Her Story Podcast.
Yes. Okay, you guys. Thanks for joining with us today. And so I wanted to start with just a general discussion before we dive into our questions. Because, like, before we even started, I kind of just asked you guys how your 2022 has been. And I got, like, a weird kind of response, which I definitely could feel you. And on top of that, you guys are podcasters. So I know podcasting can be a lot of work. And we just kind of wanted to start off by asking, where could you use some assistance and support to help your podcast shine?
Thank you for, kind of hosting this platform, for us to be able to kind of get together. It has been a rough 3 years, and it's only been January. I think that one of the biggest things, because podcasting is kind of small lake, tons of fish right now, and you want to be able to. It has been a rough 3 years, and it's only been January. You want to be able to stand out. and you want folks to kind of come in and kind of listen and have that sense of community and such, and you kind of gain that following. So really just kind of comes down to what it is that, like, what it takes, like what the different aspects of just putting yourself out there in, like, some of the same or some of the unique ways or some of the trending ways, you know, just kind of keeping on top of that. Like, that's sort of, you know, that can be challenging, you know, at times.
Also, we probably just need help with people leaving us reviews. We forget to ask all the time. Yeah. And, like, we have jobs outside of this.
Yeah, which everybody probably
so
does,
yeah. Yeah, it's just like, if you are, I mean, one, for me, it's always Black women first. And so if you want to support Black women, then, like, leave reviews, because you know that's a thing that, like, gets more people to listen.
Right.
He does the podcast thing. I do the history thing. And at the end of the day, it's just like, if you support either one of us or both of us, then, like, leave us a review.
I was just going to say the same thing that, you know, a lot of times I think as podcasters, our friends and different people who listen may message us directly and let us know how much they love it and how they're following and all this and other. So it just helps, like, you know, take the 2 seconds. It's free to, you know, go in there, do a, you know, a review, follow. Following also helps, you know, because it pushes out the notifications. So those are little things that you can do that helps podcasters. So don't just, like, write them a DM or send them a personal message, but that, you know, take the extra step to actually put the review on Apple Podcasts or whatever it is, and then also follow them as well.
Okay, I guess I'll jump in as well. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's definitely important to, like, if you really enjoy what we're doing, to, you know, to let us know, and it's good for, like, social proof and everything like that. And I would also say too, I think for me personally, like, a lot of the challenges. So, I mean, of course there's, like, the challenge of getting our names out there and all that, and this, and also just maybe tech and things like that. But for me personally, it's probably more of an internal challenge. So right now with COVID and other just life challenges, the focus for me right now is consistency. So, like, releasing episodes on a consistent basis. And I think especially for those of us who work on history podcasts, you know, we do a lot of research heavy topics, and sometimes that means a lot of work on the front end. And so I think, and I like the idea of doing this whole form. And so I appreciate, like, Perky and the BPA team for putting this on. I think it's helpful for us to learn from each other, especially, and I think, you know, and you guys can resonate with this. I mean, I don't do this for a living. I do this as, you know, as a hobby. So, you know, just ways to stay consistent, even with life happening. I think that's kind of a big thing and a big challenge that, you know, I'd love to, you know, just kind of learn from others when it comes to doing that.
Okay, yeah, thanks, everybody. That brings me to my next question, which I think is right on time. Seeing that we are all together through the Black Pod Awards platform, you know, and us being able to connect, do you guys feel like you've been able to build or progress in any way from being in the BPA? Did anything change since having this experience with us?
Yes, this is kind of a prestigious thing, you know, to be awards nominated or award winning, you know, that kind of, just that phrasing right there, is something that I think that as soon as we got nominated, we were like, yo, change the bio, awards nominated, you know what I mean? Immediately. And I mean, that helps, because, you know, people are like, oh yeah, somebody, people, okay, you know, and so our you know, we have a small team that, you know, we're putting together, what do you call them? Like just kind of packets where, you know, it kind of talked about, you know, the podcast, you know, the bios and pictures and little clips and that kind of thing. Cause then it was like, all right, we've got the BPAs have nominated us for a thing. Let's use that. And, you know, since then it's kind of opened up some opportunities to where, you know, we have a local, the Seattle Repertory Theater, you know, we just recently started doing, kind of an interview series with them that discuss, with Fannie Lou Hamer. It's Fannie the Life and Times, or Fannie the Music and Life of Fannie Lou Hamer, that is playing right now. And we got to interview the playwright, the director, the actress, the music director. That's something that we feel like that we wouldn't have been able to do if not have been a part of, you know, the BPA. So thank you, you know, kind of for that. That definitely was because it was in it. And we just dropped both of those episodes out. So go ahead and listen now. So we're humbled and we're thankful. That's great.
Yeah, for real. As like a historian and fan of Lou Hamer, I mean, I don't know about other historians, but like I have a list of what my favorite historical figures are. And for me, fan of Lou Hamer is at the top. So getting to do that and being able to like share it with somebody who's very close to me, and like Daylin has, you know, experience in the theater world. So it was like a perfect blending of these two very important things to us. And being able to do it very naturally and not having to like shift or change who we are, and having them be so supportive of us. Like, you've got Cheryl West, who's one of the most successful playwrights in Seattle. I mean, this lady done put in 20 years in the game, and you don't hear about a lot of Black playwrights. So one, we get to honor Miss West, and we get to honor Fannie Lou Hamer. And like for me as a Black woman, being able to honor Fannie Lou Hamer is major. And that comes from, you know, some of the exposures that we got from BPA. So definitely, absolutely, it's been beneficial for us for sure. So thank you.
I think that for me, like, so I've been podcasting for about 5 years, but the BPAs were the first podcast award show that I've submitted to. And this experience has helped me learn more just about that process of like, you know, just like, how would I submit to something like that? What does the committee look for? And then with seeing the podcasts that were selected, seeing how like, okay, these are wonderful, awesome podcasts that, you know, are, you know, top of the line podcasts. And it's like, okay, seeing the work that's out there that I might not even be aware of. And it's like, okay, that encourages me to step up my game and to be into, you know, do better in my own right. And just seeing the excellence that comes from our community, I think is amazing.
I agree. I think from the awards, like, I mean, immediately when you put out the list of nominees, I went and followed everybody. Like, I just went down the list and started following them. And so for me, it's been really helpful to kind of follow and study other Black podcasters and see what they're doing, listening to their shows and learning. And so in a way, it's kind of how I'm training myself, how to get better at it. Because I mean, I don't do this full time. It's something I do as a hobby. I also just started. And so it's the way that I'm learning. Also, I'm very grateful to BPA because I've actually had a couple of companies reach out to me, like since the award show, looking for, you know, potential partnerships for sponsorships and advertising. And so thank you. Yeah, but I like had decided early on with this particular podcast, I didn't want to do advertising. So I've, you know, actually declined. But I definitely think that BPA has helped with the visibility and all of that. And so really appreciative of the platform and just the fact that you're amplifying voices of, you know, podcasters and podcasts that may not be heard in the broader scheme. So really appreciative of the work that you all do.
Yeah, and I wanted to highlight a few things you guys said. So one, with what you just said, Jennifer, it's good to know and set boundaries like when you first start a podcast, right? So this is a tip to anybody that's thinking about going into it or even people that are struggling with knowing like, what kind of guests should I bring on? What kind of questions? Like if somebody asked me to do this, am I okay with that? Like having, when you're in the creation phase and you're coming up with the name and the imagery and the description of the podcast, it's also good to know your boundaries. Like, do I want to do advertising? And if so, do I have a particular set of companies that I'm willing to do it for? And what kind of guests do I want to have? Like, am I going to say no if a guest that's not in this bubble that I've created wants to be on my show, right? Because that can change the whole integrity and the feel of your podcast, right? So I'm glad you said that. And then it's also good to see what you guys are saying with Battle Fatigue. Like, I'm really proud of you guys for having that opportunity. That's great. And we would love to share anything. Like, I was probably going to say this more at the end, but hey, right now is perfect timing. We would love to share any projects that you guys have or even like clips, because, you know, we're not just here to award you guys. Like, the whole purpose was to uplift and, like you guys said, like to be able to spread out some of the things that you guys have been doing so that people can be aware of what's going on in our bubble of Black podcasting. And so, Jay, you actually said something when we first began about the researching process that comes with Black History podcasts. So the next question for me would be, why did you guys pick this topic? Like, you guys have already kind of touched on it, but seeing how challenging it can be, as well as, like, and we got, I know we talk about this a lot, but we do have February as Black History Month. And, you know, just delving into the history side of it, right? We started with a week. So it's like we did get a little bit bigger from there. But we do have a lot of people who complain about it being a small month. And just like we also are going through this huge battle of them trying to take away our history and banning books. And I'm blanking on it. What is it called? Critical race theory, like the whole topic on critical race theory and all these things. So to go back to the question, right, because I know I'm kind of rambling. Why did you guys decide to do Black history, especially in the climate that we're in?
So I'm glad that you mentioned critical race theory and the whole fight to keep our history away from, like, from our, you know, from our school children and, you know, from people actually being able to learn about it. Because when I was in grad school, I got my PhD from University of Cincinnati. And while I was learning there, I was in grad school there, I was also teaching part-time, and I did that for about 5 years. And my research focused on a subset of critical race theory called critical whiteness theory. And really what, you know, and so the way that relates to history is that I incorporated a lot of historical context to explaining a lot of political trends. And I think it's important to understand the history. So, you know, after I earned my PhD, I left academia, but the podcast was a way to get that fix of being able to share knowledge and talk about these issues without having to teach. So, you know, so I was able to do that. But really what I wanted to do was lean into the historical angle, because my belief is that Black history is U.S. history. And we can't, like, we have to be able to understand our past, including as it relates to race, to understand kind of where we are now and then how we move forward.
Yes, I mean, I would just say, I agree. Like, we owe it to those who came before us to uncover their untold stories and make sure that we share those. And so, like, for me, the reason why I picked history is like almost like, you know, a labor of love, because I was researching and trying to learn more about my maternal grandmother and her life, as well as to figure out and kind of unpack and tell the stories of the people who she influenced as well. And so for me, it was historical just from the aspect of I'm reaching back into kind of my history to see kind of where I came from, because understanding those stories helps us understand kind of where we are now and where we're going. And so, like, something else that I do in addition to just uploading my podcast to, you know, the various platforms that are the major podcast platforms, I also submit them to StoryCorps, which is a 501c3, so that they'll be preserved at the Library of Congress in D.C. Because, again, these are stories that, you know, everybody needs to hear, you know, not just us. And I want it for future generations. So it started out as like a small project for me to record it for my children. But I was like, you know, other generations can benefit from this as well.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
Like that. We're sitting there really like, wait a minute. You're saying stories? StoryCorps,
NPR. You can upload it.
Right, like, now. Right now.
And that's good to know.
For sure. Why did you choose history? this is our resident historian. I mean, and like legitimately, AJ is a bona fide. Like that is her.
We're literally in my office right now, so like it's history all day. To be honest, our friendship started off of comic books, and like one of the things about comic books is like once you figure out the origin story, then everything else kind of makes sense. And so I really just applied that to history. You know, I got to go to locations in which these major moments happen. And it's like really difficult to ignore the story, let's say, of like Emmett Till when you're standing at the site where his body was found. Or it's like difficult to ignore the strength of Mamie Till when you go into the Sumner courthouse and you see how small it is and you understand like how close her uncle Mose Wright was to J.W. Milam and Roy Bryant. Like you kind of can't shake the resiliency and power of Black people in those locations. So it honestly was just like me telling him, hey, bro, this is what I did this week. This is the museum I went to. This is the thing I learned. This is the wild stuff. And then in between that, we would weave in like, what would Batman do? Or we'd be like, this is why Batman is white. He got to show his face so that when he goes around beating people up, they're like, hey, oh, it's a white man.
Yeah, it's a white chin.
Right? Yeah, like, nah, okay, it's cool. Fine. He all right. Go ahead, Perky. But like,
I mean, because we all know that like part of Batman's power is white privilege. So
let's be real, and money. So for me, the more I learned about history, I started realizing that there's ways that we're taught the history that doesn't tell the full story. So I was just like, how do I discover more awesome stories? Like, if this can't be the only thing Black people have ever done. So let me go and basically become what he coined a historical scavenger hunter. And so I get to discover these amazing stories of Black people that nobody really knows. And I don't know how to talk any other way than the way I talk. So I can be like, yo, let me tell you about Fred. You know Fred? Nah, Douglas. Yeah. And then he did this and then he did that. And it's really just me trying to get him to be like, let me tell you this thing that I went through. Then it turned into, holy shit. I mean, holy crap. Black people have been in charge of their own destinies, even within the bounds of bondage. And that in and of itself is such a fascinating concept to try and unpack, because the trajectory of Blackness is always tied to bondage. So it's like, how do we flip that? How do we make the chains be more on the white folks than it is on the Black folks? And so we try to figure out all these crazy stories. And also, history is just wild, right? Like, one of the last recent episodes we did was about this dude named Virgil who went around and created basically a fake slave insurrection in order to make money. And we can always tie that to stuff that's happening today. So one, we want to make sure that we help people see that just because this thing happened 100 years ago doesn't mean it doesn't affect how you live your life right now. But how do we do it in a vernacular and in a way that makes history more accessible? So if I'm telling you Frederick Douglass was like, all right, bet, it makes it easier for you to like be more comfortable with learning the history.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot for that.
Get off me.
That actually makes me, so we had like a couple more questions, but they kind of like pull away from the history side. And so before I do that, I wanted to just highlight something in history that's standing out for me right now, seeing like what you guys are talking about and like you guys' inspirations. And then we can go around too and see if there's another story that you guys like have been touched by recently. So for me, they all kind of tie in for me right now. But I want to highlight Kaylee House, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. And I call her the mother of reparations, but I don't know if she has any other names. And so for me, she's standing out for me because I'm a California native. I'm in California right now. And although there's been other ways and instances where reparations have been handed out, I think it was North Carolina that was like one of the first states to have like a city receive reparations. They're saying that California might be the first state as a whole that receives reparations. And so for me, I want to highlight her because she and her partner, Isaiah N. Dickerson, I think is his name. Isaiah H. Dickerson, were the two people that were really like pushing for reparations like way back in the day. And I don't have the dates in my head right now. I think it was the late 1800s. And so I just wanted to highlight them, but is there another story that you guys would like to highlight before we kind of move to the next questions of somebody or a story, even it could be like recent that like ties into like historical frames, right? And you can make that connection for us, that is like highlighted to you right now.
So I was debating in my head between two separate ones. So I'm going to give the one that's probably the most recent, in relation to my podcast. So I finished up at the tail end of last year doing a deep dive on voter suppression. And one of the episodes I did was on women's suffrage. And the interesting thing about that subject is that Black people, especially Black women, were deeply involved. And one of those women that was deeply involved was Mary Church Terrell, who was an educated Black woman who had been involved with women's suffrage for decades, and just seeing how with her work and the work of a number of others like Ida B. Wells Barnett and others that were really working towards women having the right to vote, and not just white women, but Black women and like all women having the right to vote, but then their contributions being erased by like sort of this whitewash narrative of woman suffrage.
There's a list of people, but I'm gonna keep it real brief. One of the most amazing stories that I know, Perky, I know he just gave me that same warning. One of the stories that we did for our podcast is on a woman named Mary Bowser. I highly recommend folks.
I was going to say Mary Bowser.
You were going to say Mary Bowser. I know. I felt it. I felt it in my heart. I would highly recommend folks look into her story. It reads like an adventure book. She basically goes and spies in the Confederate White House of Jefferson Davis. But the thing that's most amazing about her is she has an eidetic memory. And we don't always like give enslaved people the accurate descriptor of being brilliant, right? There's this narrative that's put on Black folks during the days of enslavement that we were foolish and we were lazy and all that. It's like, okay, cool, but who built your house, my boy? Like, I can't be dumb and build your house at the same time. So one, okay, this gives Black women a whole lot of agency. It's a perfectly clear example of what Black women were doing during the Civil War. So this idea that, you know, Lincoln was the great emancipator and white folks were out here fighting for Black people's freedom, it's like, okay, but there's this woman literally putting herself in the most dangerous position to spy on the president of the Confederacy. It's absolutely brilliant. She lived in Richmond, Virginia, and that's definitely one story that I highly recommend folks look into for sure.
So I would say one example probably from my podcast as well came from someone I interviewed as episode 5 of my podcast. And so Ambassador Larry L. Palmer was the person's name. And so he was a former student of my grandmother, which is why I had him on the show. But hearing his story and not only just talking about his memories of his time in Augusta and growing up in the segregated South, but he went on to become a U.S. ambassador, and he served under 6 different U.S. presidents. And so the thing about it was, though, he actually ended up passing away a couple of months after that interview last year. And so, again, that just kind of reemphasized for me the importance of why we have to document these stories. You know, his name isn't a name that people might readily be able to roll off their tongue, but it's so important that we're talking to people, we're documenting it however we can so that it isn't lost when they pass away. And so I was really grateful for the opportunity to talk to him, you know, before he did transition, so that his story and what he went through and what he was able to accomplish, you know, being someone who grew up in the 1960s in the segregated South and what the perception is. And so that's something else that I try and do through my podcast, is change the narrative and change the perception, kind of what we did, you know, historically. And then also just how we're viewed, especially for people from the segregated South, of what kind of the perception of was. We just hear about the struggle. We don't hear a lot about the accomplishments. And so also kind of highlighting those stories as well.
Wow, that's really great. And yeah, it definitely helps to highlight the importance of us as a community, but also as individuals. And although I really love the people that we do get to hear about during Black History Month traditionally, it is great to hear these names that you guys are bringing up. Some of them I've heard of, some of them I have not, and I'm sure there's plenty that I don't know about. So it's definitely refreshing to have podcasters like you guys that are doing the work, like literally having to research and stuff. Whether you guys find it fun or not, you know, you guys have to do the work to go out there and put these stories out there. So thank you guys for that. And so for anybody, since, you know, let me plug our cup in, you know, BPA, right? for anybody that's looking to become a podcaster or to even apply to the Black Pod Awards, but maybe they're not ready this year, or maybe they don't know if they're ready. Are there any tips that you guys have for them? And it doesn't have to be linked directly to the BPA, just as a podcaster. Are there any tips that you can give them, whether it be tech, whether it be writing up something or doing their logos or even paperwork, getting guests. Are there any tips that you guys have for podcasters out there?
I would say a big one that I found is know your why. Like, know why you're doing it, know why you're getting into it, because very quickly, you know, you'll hit that road. Like, if you're not doing this full time, you're going to hit those moments where you're just like, I don't really want to record. So knowing why you got into it, knowing your purpose, I think will help keep you motivated, because everybody doesn't automatically balloon and start getting thousands of downloads, you know, every episode. And so you have to have some other kind of motivation beyond the metrics, beyond the downloads and all of that, that keeps you going. So, you know, me personally, I'm glad starting out, I wrote down my why. I wrote down why I was getting into podcasting and what I wanted to achieve from it. And whenever I had those moments where I was really struggling to do it, I would go back and read that. Another thing too, and you know, that I'll just throw out quickly is, for me, thinking about it in terms of seasons also helps. Like, so for me, I told myself, so I'm a monthly podcast. So I was like, okay, 12 episodes will be a season. And so having that short-term goal was much more attainable and reachable for me, knowing like, okay, I just got to get to, you know, to 12 and then take a break, versus like, okay, I'm going to start podcasting and it's now till forever. And so, you know, whether it be if you're weekly and you want to do 52 episodes or a season or whatever, you know, your time frame is, I think that also kind of helps keep you motivated when you know you have a period of time that you're working with or a certain number of episodes that you're working towards.
Podcasts are actually really accessible, of course, more than ever nowadays. You can record a podcast right on your phone microphone. You know what I mean? But a couple of the things real quick to touch on, Jennifer mentioned knowing your why. That's important, because if you're just going to be out there doing it without like any like real motivation, it's just going to be based on where you're at in that moment, then it's you're going to lose the thing that Jay was talking about, which was consistency. Like, you have to, one of the most important things about being a podcast is that you have to be consistent. People, especially if you have folks that want to hear you, if they know that you'll be out every Tuesday or Thursday, every other week or every week, then make sure that you do that, because there's so many podcasts out there and attention spans are short nowadays, you know. And so if you're not there, you know, continuing to give the content, then you can kind of get lost in the noise of all the other podcasts. So make sure that you're consistent, and just piggyback and make sure you have a why. As far as like technological, if you can, there are a lot of microphones nowadays that tend to be pretty cheap. The one that we're using now is often on sale for $100, maybe less, not speaking anybody's budget. But again, you can use your phone microphone. Look into programs like Audacity. It's a free editing software that you can use, and it's pretty well regarded. If you've got a couple of dollars, maybe try Adobe Audition, which has a lot more options. If you kind of get hesitant about learning those kinds of things, feel free to check out udemy.com. They have tons of lessons from folks that are professionals, you know, in their particular fields, that, you know, put out these web lessons, and they're really easy to follow, and you do them on your own time, and you come away with a lot of good knowledge. And more often than not, they're on sale for like $10, $10-$15. You know, you get a full course on Adobe Audition or Audacity or podcasting even, you know. So gain the knowledge, and there's a lot of resources to prepare yourself, but know your why, be consistent, and find the knowledge, because it's definitely out there. And like, Google is for real. It's out there. You know what I mean? So
on, yeah. Also, if you are going to podcast with somebody, make sure you actually like that somebody and y'all actually get down together. The awesome thing about Battle Fatigue is this is just a continuation of what we had been doing for like 7 years prior to starting this podcast. So what you hear on the show is no different than like an everyday interaction. Like, so when we're on mute and we're muttering to each other, like, that's what we do on the show, which makes it really difficult to edit sometimes. And also, like, understand your strengths, right? I have a full-time job in which I travel like ridiculously. And also, he's super into the podcasting behind the scenes thing now. So we complement each other in that way. And there's a lot of trust built into this relationship. And so if I can't listen to the edits, right, then I'm gonna just be like, homie, I need you to like get down with the edits. And I trust him enough that like, if he's like, okay, I like this episode, then it's like solid, cool. We good. So for those of you who are podcasting with somebody, You know, build that friendship first, build that relationship up, because if y'all blow up and then you don't like each other, like, it's going to come out in the podcast.
It's going to get weird.
It's going to get really weird. And so there's a lot of trust, and communication is really, really important, because even with the Seattle Rep thing, like, they had asked me to do a history piece. And before I even responded to that, I went to him first and I was like, how you feel? Like, if you're not down for this, then I'm not doing it, because it's us first. And then we figure it out. And he was like, I'm not a historian. I don't understand what you want me to do on this, but, like, go do you. But
I,
like,
read it. You know?
Yeah, but I definitely think, like, understanding your lanes and building trust, especially if you are doing it with, you know, a partner, is something that I very much so urge people to invest in.
I think that, I mean, what everyone said was, like, really good. And I was, some of that I was going to say, but, like, so I'm not going to reinvent the wheel, but a couple of other things that I was thinking about is, so one of the pointers I would give is to always have an eye for continued growth. So whether that's the format or direction of your content, the tech, editing, whether you just started or you've been doing this for years, it's really helpful to always have a mind for improvement, and just making it work for you. When I first started my podcast, I would do like maybe 15, 20 minute episodes, and I was focused a lot on current events. And that was fine, but my heart was really into the historical context behind current events and the different systems and different aspects of what's going on in the world or what's going on in the United States. And so my podcast morphed into like focusing on those issues and focusing on doing deep dives into like US history and events from various perspectives. And that made it more sustainable for me and made it even more enjoyable for me and made me want to continue doing it for the past several years. And so that's one thing. And then tech-wise, yeah, definitely. It's definitely more accessible. I would agree. Like you can now like podcast on anything. The barrier to entry is fairly low. But I think like in general, I would say shop for the space you have rather than the space you wish you had. So when I first got started, I was like a lot of people, I went online, I saw, oh, Blue Yeti on sale. Let me get that. And I mean, it was okay, but and it's a great beginner's mic. The issue is that it's a condenser mic, which is like, so there's condenser mics and there's dynamic mics. Condenser mics tend to be more crisp and clear. Dynamic mics, you can hook up to an interface and, you know, it's kind of versatile that way. But the thing is that there different mics are available for and that are best for different spaces. My space is loud. I live right behind a major highway and train tracks. And so it's loud. I can't control that. I don't have the money for a studio. Sorry. And so I have to work with what I have. And so I ended up getting the ATR 2100, which is a dynamic mic. And that works better for me. Everyone may find things that are different for them, different types of tech that's different for them. But I think it's helpful to try to do the homework. You know, there are programs, there's different classes out there, like Udemy has stuff and they're usually pretty cheap. Even like YouTube has different things out there that will tell you like, oh yeah, this might be better and this is why, or this is how you use X, Y, and Z and this is why. And so the information is out there and just take advantage of it.
Sound great.
And were you going to say something?
Yeah. No, I was just saying, like, talking about, you know, just speaking of the mic and such and for the room and for however you've set it up, Jay, you sound fantastic. Sound really great.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, like, to Jay's point, and I think Daylan also mentioned a couple of free options. Like, you don't have to run out and spend a whole bunch of money on a whole bunch of things right away. Like, literally, when I started with podcasting, I had my cell phone and the Anchor app, and that's it. And I would go in my bedroom closet where it was to kind of be muffled, and that was my studio. And so, and even now, I just have a mic and headphones. Like, that's all I've upgraded to. So don't let money or cost be a barrier from you moving into podcasting if it's something you're really passionate about and that you want to do. Start free. Start with the free options. There are plenty out there. And then as you learn more, add on what you need. And I think you end up spending your money more wisely that way versus rushing out and buying whatever you can find or whatever you see most people talking about and what's trending that may not be a good fit for your situation. So I would just say start small, start where you are. But get started if it's something that you want to do.
Right. Well, like, the, I think that that, what's important also, which, I mean, maybe you wouldn't say anything about this, Jennifer, is that, like, you know, you started with just your phone and the Anchor app, and you are now an award-winning podcast. So, I mean, it's like, it, you don't, it doesn't take much. You know, you got that content, you got that consistency, you have the story, you have your why, and people notice. And starting with just a phone and Anchor. So that's like, it doesn't, don't allow what you, how you hear others and what you, like what others are doing. You go to the website and like, yeah, this is all my equipment. This is my list of equipment. And then you start going to Amazon or wherever and pricing it. Man, that's like $700. All you need is a phone and an Anchor app to be an award-winning podcast. Like that's all I'm saying. So anyway, and the content and your why.
Yeah, underline that.
Oh, definitely. Just to piggyback off of what Dalen said, I totally would agree with that. And I think, yeah, and definitely to that point about Jennifer being an award, being an award-winning podcaster. I mean, you know, starting out with, you know, the basics, and then moving up as, you know, as budget and as, you know, everything else allowed. Like that's, you know, that's awesome. And I think at the end of the day, and I think that's kind of maybe what I think we're all kind of talking about at the end of the day, it's really about what we're putting out there. It's really about the content. You know, you definitely want to improve the, you know, improve the tech as much as we can, do what we can. But at the end of the day, if we don't have the content that, if we don't have our content on point, if we don't have, if we're not focusing on what we're putting out there in terms of that, then the rest of it doesn't really matter.
Yes. So yeah, highlighting everything you guys said, because it's all important, very much so. Yeah, for me, when I started, I just happened to tell somebody I wanted to podcast that had a whole podcasting network. And so they were able to support me, and I just pay for studio time, and they helped me with editing, and they had all the equipment, so I didn't have to buy anything. They had an engineer, so I didn't have to worry about those things. And when I got ready, I was able to make that transition. But also, one thing I wanted to add to what you guys were saying too is that it's okay if you lose steam in having your own podcast. Like, even the person that started the network, he knew that he didn't want to do it long term. So as he was transitioning from doing his podcast, he started to create his network because he liked podcasting. He loved it. He just didn't want to be the one behind the mic anymore. And that kind of happened to me a little bit too, towards like, I like what I did for my podcast, but I also like, I liked what other people were doing more. And that's how I ended up getting into the Black Pod Awards. And I'm still interviewing. I'm still doing podcasting. I'm just not having to do it under my own umbrella where I'm the only person. So it's like, as you see that, like, maybe you fulfilled your why in a few seasons, you know, it's okay to make that transition and see, like, where can I build from this? Because that's what we're all about, right, is growth. Like, that's why you guys do history. It's like, you guys dive back so we can see what happened, but it's so we could grow from that, right? And so speaking of growth, is there anything that you wish to see developed regarding podcasting that can help you to continue to grow, whether it's community or anything, especially something that maybe we can help with through the Black Pod Awards?
You mean like just as far as like where podcasting is and where we're hoping to kind of see it go?
Yeah. And just if, like, you guys already said that you could use, you know, people leaving comments and stuff and reviews, but is there like something that you guys feel like you're in need of to continue building as a podcast?
A clone.
more AJs. I feel like that we have the team that we have that kind of helped with, you know, recording and editing and, you know, and kind of keeping us kind of reined in when recording, and just making sure, and it's all just a matter of just making sure that we're all staying on it and staying accountable. That's just more of the same, like just kind of keeping as the year, as these, you know, we enter the third year of the pandemic, you just never know what's going to happen anymore. And so, like, it's just that, you know, we want to ensure that, you know, because, you know, we all we got. So we keep up with each other. We stay accountable and just try to be ready for anything in spite not knowing what's coming.
Yeah. And like flexibility. Know, give yourself grace. Like, first of all, we are Black, and that in and of itself comes with responsibilities and also comes a weight. And we are talking about things that have been traumatic to people we care about, to our ancestors, to us currently. So, it's kind of difficult doing it by yourself, especially when you're dealing with stuff that's heavy. So the awesome thing about doing it with a partner is, like, if I just don't have it in me, then, like, I know he's got my back and he'll carry it. Like, I as much as I was so excited to do the interviews for the folks from the Fanny Play, like, there was a piece of me that was like, I can't, I'm tired. You know, I'm holding heavy stuff. And my boy was like, yep, got you. And he carried it, you know, which is, like, wild, because it's like, I felt like I should have, because it's Fanny Lamer and I'm a fan. But also, I understood my boundaries and I knew no matter what, he had my back. And I didn't have to do, like, a long explanation. It literally was just like, hey, my dude, I don't got it today. He was like, bet. And I was like, this is all you. And so the success of those interviews is because this dude was like, heard you, I got you, I'm gonna deal with it, I'm gonna take care of the edits, all of that, while I was just trying to get myself together. So to the ones who are doing it by themselves, you know, give yourself that grace if you don't have somebody who has your back. Because if you want to be in it for longevity and you want it to be sustainable, like, you got to take care of you also, especially if you're dealing with a lot of heavy topics.
I think that was really good to hear, AJ, because that's basically me. And I think that, you know, being, like, I'm a solo podcaster, and there are topics to where sometimes, like, I need to give myself sort of space to do some self-care, because they are heavy topics. They are difficult topics, and, you know, they kind of get to you after a while, you know? And so I think that's a really helpful message. I think in general, in terms of what can be developed to help us grow as podcasters, what I would like to see, and this may already exist and I just might not know about it, I'd like to see more spaces, whether they're online or IRL, and when I say IRL, like, I'm particularly thinking of, like, after COVID, dedicated to helping out each other as Black podcasters. I think these types of discussions are super helpful. And I think that, you know, if there's kind of a place that we can kind of all have those types of discussions where, you know, whether we need advice or places to share our successes, places to vent, places to kind of put each other up on new tech, or even things like the BPAs and, you know, other types of events and opportunities. I think that kind of a space where we can share that as Black podcasters, I think that would be really helpful. I've seen that in different environments. Like, I've seen it sort of in, like, sort of the mainstream white environments, like, where there are those kinds of groups, like, on Reddit and such. And those are helpful, but I really think there's something about community that is, you know, that's really helpful. And I think that's something that would be great to have from each other. The other thing that made me think about that was a couple of years ago, I went to the She Podcast Conference, and it was a conference of women podcasters, and they had, like, these breakout groups. And one of the breakout groups was for women of color, and it was almost all Black women. And being able to get together with this group, even though it was just a weekend, it was amazing. And so just something sort of like that to where we can kind of build that community of Black podcasters. I mean, it may already be there. Again, I might just not know about it, but I think that something like that would be helpful.
And Jay, and you mentioning that made me actually think, so since I do use Anchor as my platform for podcasting. So for Anchor, the community, they have like a little Facebook group where you can use, where you can ask questions. They have different days where you can like promote your podcast or give feedback X, Y, and Z. But maybe that could be something that BPA could do, create maybe a Facebook group or something like that for the BPA network. Where people could drop questions, because I know there have been times where, like, if I'm having a tech issue, something I can't figure out through Google, X, Y, and Z, I'll go drop it there. And podcasters, actually other podcasters who use the platform, will respond. And so it's been a really good resource in a way to stay connected and learn from those who are also doing it. So if we could do something like that for the BPA community, I think that might be awesome, too.
Okay, so, yes, I'm listening to you guys, and I'm going to respond. So we do have a connection with Afros and Audios, which I believe the winners may have received some sort of like membership or even just the nominees overall. So I do want to highlight them. They were a huge sponsor for us, and they're also on our advisory board for Black Pod Awards. And so if you just look them up, whether it be on Instagram or their website, Afros and Audios, they have a huge community and they're building. So I think that would be like a good first start from you guys. And then from us as BPAs, we're actually, so with the show and Grace, you know, it went from us having, and this is like also to highlight our anniversary, it went from us having like 70 people when we first had the idea, like if you guys remember the story, the tweet that had went out, like, why don't we have this for Black people, right? We had put out something saying like, who wants to be involved? We got all these responses. It was like 70 plus responses of, I want to do this. We even met, I think, one time. Some of us got connected, and then boom, COVID. And we went from having 70 people to having 7, and then this year it was 5. So we've been working our hardest to get all of these things together, and so we had to show our grace in what our capacity was, and that's why we're just now really getting to do the podcast, because I've been begging to do a podcast with BPA since the very beginning, but it's just, what is our capacity? And we all live, like, it's like 3 of us that live in New York, and then the rest of us are like other places. So we're kind of spread out too. And so, yeah, we're just getting to this part. But outside of the podcast and connecting you guys that are the nominees or winners, we're going to be doing Twitter spaces to connect everybody else and to ask some more specific questions and to have that community. So you guys can look out for that. We're going to do that on Twitter. But I do encourage you guys to use the Afros and Audios, because we are really connected to them, and we do plan on doing more things with their conferences and ceremonies as well. And then hopefully we have our own in-person one soon, so we can have our own IRLs soon too. And we can actually meet face-to-face and do more connection work. But yeah, so to cap this off, because we've been talking for a while and we've had a really good conversation, I want to ask you guys to please shout out at least one Black podcaster that you guys are connected to that you want to plug, and then to make your own specific plugs as we end this episode.
So two podcasts. So one, so I genuinely do listen to Battle Fatigue. So since BPA and learning about all the different nominees, I have started listening to the show, and I genuinely love it. Like, I like podcasts that are relatable or that teach me something. And I feel like Battle Fatigue does both. You know, that they're super funny. Listening to them, like, talk, the banter is like the banter I have with my friends. And so I like that kind of thing. And then also I love the history that gets sprinkled in there. So I can do a genuine plug for them. Also, there's another podcast. It's a smaller podcast that were also nominees for BPA, the In-Law Suite. And it's like two sisters-in-laws that have become best friends and have started a podcast together. And so I just really enjoy, again, because like listening to them sounds like the conversations that I have with my friends and the topics that they talk about. So those are two that, you know, I've learned through BPA that I actually love and do listen to.
I have a couple of Black podcasters that I kind of want to bring up that I really enjoy personally. Even though I podcast, like I got into podcasting in part because I love to listen to podcasts, and I'm sure that that many of you guys can relate to that. So one of them is called White Homework by Tori Williams Douglas. I learned about Tori through Twitter because I'm part of a community of people who were once part of the evangelical tradition of Christianity that have since left that tradition and have moved on either to other parts of Christianity or something else. And so Tori is someone who is very vocal in that sphere. And so she has a podcast called White Homework, where she has guests on and they talk about various aspects of Black culture and the Black experience. And so I definitely recommend that one. The other one is called Shelf Addiction by Tamara Ford. I actually met Tamara when I went to She Podcasts a couple of years ago. And like she's awesome. And basically she just talks about different books that are out there, and she interviews authors, and it's just a really good podcast.
Lovely. Well, of course, Pod Story Podcast and Telling Your Story Podcast. I think that one of the things that I picked up on Telling Her Story was that just understanding that culture of it's losing me now, but you know, because your grandmother had kind of started the, you know, with the women
debutante
type thing. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And just because typically, because I came up in Texas for a little bit, and so that was all like, you know, white women and white girls, and it was a very huge thing there. So then seeing that space dedicated to Blackness and to Black women and refinement and culture, and then also including, you know, with the men as well, and it was just like, okay,
I was like, this is the real version of Brown Skin Girl.
Yeah,
got it.
Heard you. It probably started with Black people anyway.
I mean, it probably did. Why doesn't start with Black people?
So you know, shout out to Telling Your Story Podcast and Podstar Podcast BPA. I also want to shout out a local podcast called Black in the City podcast. It's run by two women, Makita and Sierra. It's a conversational podcast where they discuss usually politics and Blackness, and just in a really digestible way. And it's often, you know, kind of a lot of fun. They've got a really great energy, and you can tell that they're, you know, one of those shows that it's like, okay, y'all be kicking it outside of the show. That's what's up. But they, to have, first off, of course, as always, 100% till the day I die, shout out to Black women. So it's just, I love to hear, them speak. I mean, it's perspective. It's all about perspective. I think about the things that I naturally think about it. I love listening to folks that I feel like can provide, you know, good perspective that I can then learn on or take away from, you know, and so that's why I keep this one around as well. You know what I mean? But yeah, so shout out to Black in the City podcast, local Seattle podcast.
I'm gonna go a little higher up. One of my favorite things to do is also just find like Black historians, because it's also really difficult to find Black women historians. And so one of my favorite podcasts is called Seizing Freedom by Dr. Kidada Williams. It's an NPR podcast, but I don't know if people are really paying attention to it. And the thing that's brilliant about it is she tells the story of Black folks who were escaping enslavement during the days of Reconstruction. And it's these really individual, specific stories of like Black families. So you're learning about, you know, history, but you're learning it through like a Black child who's escaping with their mom, or, you know, you're learning about the devotion that Black mothers had for their children, with hearing an account of a Black mother who followed her child as the Union soldiers kind of took him away. And she followed them for like miles and miles and miles. And she didn't care. She was like, I'm finna get my son back. So having that come from a Black woman, and then she interviews other historians. So I would highly suggest, you know, we support Black women historians as often as we possibly can. Because if I can one day meet Dr. Kidada Williams, I mean, I'd lose my shit. But also, I'd be very excited at the same time. So yeah, I definitely recommend that one.
Nice. Thanks for the plugs, you guys. Those are definitely good things to know about. I want to uplift a podcast, one that was a part of our network. It was Inco Podcast. It's a fiction-based podcast. And that one was really good. I didn't know that I liked these type of podcasts, which is weird because I love reading books. But I didn't know I really liked listening to these type of podcasts at first, because I was always that true crime, conspiracy, like what's the other side of these stories type person when I listen to podcasts. But I was like, oh, sometimes I don't want to listen to those things. Sometimes I don't want to listen to music. And I don't always want to hear somebody narrating a book. Like, I like when the story was made specifically for the podcast. So shout out to Inko. And through listening to her, I discovered another podcast that I want to definitely connect to for BPAs this year, which is called Apollyon Podcast. And it's also like a fiction-based podcast, but it's really related to right now, but it's like an Afrofuturistic podcast, but it's talking about like an outbreak as well. So it's cool to see like their version of it. I don't even know if they made it with COVID in mind or if they already had the story out there, but shout out to them. That's another Black podcast. Okay, so we're wrapping up, you guys. I'll do the BPA plugs first, but definitely want to hear you guys plug out. Well, I'll let you guys go first and then I'll plug out the BPA. So can you guys let us know, I guess, since you guys are talking about consistency, around the time you guys drop podcast episodes, where people can listen to you at and how people can connect with you. And I'll start with Jay Poole from Pot Stirrer. That's so hard for me to say. I don't know why. But yes, go Jay.
Don't worry about it. A lot of people have trouble with that. So it's not just you. But so Pot Stirrer podcast is released every other Thursday. And it's on, and there's, it's on pastorpodcast.com. That's where all the links are to all the different podcast players. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm always on Twitter. So my handle is @PotStirrerCast. And I'm on Facebook as well. I have a Facebook page. If you type in Pot Stirrer Podcast, it's there as well. So those are probably the best ways to reach out.
Oh, I guess I'll call the next person. Sorry. Yeah, I see you guys unmute anyways. At Battle Fatigue, you guys next, please.
Okay. I didn't know. I was like, I don't know, man. So we are, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Battle Fatigue PC. That's Papa Charlie, all one word.
What?
Phonetic. PC, you know, just at Battle Fatigue PC podcast.
I thought of Papa Van Lou. My bad.
Papa Van, okay. All right.
My bad.
At Battle Fatigue PC. And then on Facebook, just look at Battle Fatigue Podcast. We do have a website. It is Large Media. That's LARJ Media, all one word, .com/ Battle Fatigue. And, of course, you can hear the show on all the major outlets and the smaller ones as well, just wherever you get your podcasts. And we would love to get your ears. We release
every other Thursday.
And we release every other Thursday as well. That is often the plan, at least.
So, don't do us like that. Don't do us.
No, we release on Thursday. Every other Thursday.
All right, and I'll jump in. So the Telling Her Story podcast is a monthly podcast. We started out aiming for the first Friday of every month, but consistency. And so we aim for Fridays. But we're currently on a season break. And so season one has ended. Not sure when season two is going to start. I work full time and I'm a grad student. So we're going to make it work. But if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Telling Her Story Podcast, you will be the first to know when we start up season two. Also, we can be found on all of the major podcast platforms. So if you follow and subscribe there, you will also be notified when a new episode drops.
Okay, I was taking note of what you guys were saying so they can be in our show notes. So thanks again, you guys, for tuning in and checking us out. Thank you to Jay Poole from the Pot Stirrer Podcast. Thank you to Daylin and AJ from the Battle Fatigue Podcast. And thank you to Jennifer from Telling Her Story Podcast for being on here with us. I'm very thankful. And again, happy Black History Month. Thank you for listening. This has been Shine with the Black Pod Awards. You can find this podcast on all streaming platforms. And again, please follow us on all social media platforms at Black Pod Awards. And our website at blackpodawards.com. And I can't wait to see you at our third annual Black Pod Awards ceremony happening September 25th, 2022.